morning. God bless us all together. Amen. It's a late evening time, whether we believe it or not. Amen. Satan rages, and that's his job. He wants to destroy all of our soul if he can get the chance. Amen. But if you really see him, nothing else is important. Jesus Christ, I'm talking about something. Right. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 57, verses, 1 through 11. Enjoy the Sunday school. You know, it's some of the things you think you wish you had heard a long time ago.
Yep. That's right.
Amen. But it's never too late to receive Christ's word. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful for this opportunity that you have given us to come together to worship. Lord, we pray that you would lead our souls in the way of righteousness. Lord, that we would turn loose all things in this world, Father, and take your word and walk with it. Lord, there are those that are about us. Lord, would destroy us. They work out continually trying to bring things that's unfruitful and according to God's word. But his word is true and always available to us. Lord, help us and forgive us. Wherever we walk, Lord, let us keep you first in our minds. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadows of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed.
I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me.
He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that will swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercies and his truth.
My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword.
Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, let thy glory be above all the earth.
They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me. Into the midst thereof they are fallen themselves. Selah.
My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise.
Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early.
I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations.
For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds.
Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let the glory be above all the earth. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen. Brother Kern, can you come take up the tithes and offerings now?
Thank you, brother. Father God, we stand before you here, happy bunch, Lord God. As the prophet said one time, what is true happiness? Happiness is the ability to be contented that God has allotted you in life. And we pray, Lord God, with open hearts and clear mind, that you will come and meet the needs of everyone that is seated here today. Remember your minister as he takes us right foot. Those hands that could give, those that cannot give, it all be used for the furtherance of your ministry. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Turn to number 187 in the spiral. We're going to be in G. This is the song that Brother Colley wanted to hear the other day that he wasn't here to hear it, so we're all going to sing it this morning. So how many's thank the Lord for His wondrous love to us. Amen.
That God should love a sinner such as I, should yearn to change my sorrow into bliss, no rest till He had planned to bring me nigh. How wonderful is love like this, such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this, that Christ should join so freely in the scheme, although it meant His death on Calvary. Did ever human tongue find nobler thing than love divine that ransomed me? Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this, that for a willful outcast such as I, the Father planned, the Savior bled and died, redemption for a worthless slave to buy, who long and law and grace defied. Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this. And now He takes me to His heart a son. He asks me not to fill a servant's place. The far off country wanderings are all done. Wide open are His arms of grace. Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this, such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this.
Amen. Amen. Let's turn to number 124. This is my desire, just a closer walk with Thee.
I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to Thee, and just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea, and daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be, and through this world of tolls and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who, with me, my burden share? None but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee, and just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea, and daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be, and when my feeble life is o'er, and time for me will be no more, guide me gently, safely on to Thy kingdom shore, to Thy shore. And just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. And daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Amen. Let's all stand this morning as we get ready to change the order of the service. Let's sing, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord." Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see You. Yes, I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see You. Yes, I want to see You, to see You high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
then shining in the light of your glory.
You love him this morning?
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Sing it to him.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here today. Getting closer to Christmas time. People going here and going there. Can't keep everybody at home, can we? But it's good to be here.
Amen.
We're going to have a wedding today. Amen? No second service. Wedding will be at 2 o'clock. So as soon as we get finished today, we need to stay downstairs and let the sisters and whoever's getting everything together. Danny Fountain? Man. Brother Danny Fountain's birthday today? Ah. And he's just, well, 50? George 6, 70, and he's 50. 70 and 50, that don't sound good. But anyway, we've got some others like that around here. So. For Brother Danny, I'm not going to sing happy birthday to you with nobody up here playing the piano. And that, so we'll do it this afternoon. I mean, we'll do it after service is over. We'll do it sometime. We try to do it with the people that are in the sanctuary on their day. Not if they're not here, we ain't going to sing your... If you ain't here, you ain't going to get sung to. Okay? If that is a word. But we got a wedding at 2 o'clock, and then that will be Sister Yvaine and Brother Ebenezer. And I don't see them. I hope they haven't eloped. If they have, then we'll just party with them, I guess. I don't know. But that will be this afternoon at 2 o'clock. So just everybody get out of the sanctuary so they can fix everything up, put the flowers up. All the sisters know what to do. Also, the reception will be at 6 o'clock at the, I think it's the Gainesville Ballroom. It's up on Atlanta Highway at 6 o'clock this afternoon. So just keep them in your prayers. They've been waiting 2 years. 2 years to get married, been engaged for that long. So he couldn't get over here because of COVID. And now he's over here in the States, and they're going to get married. So we're going to pray blessings upon both of them. Amen. Brother Aaron will be speaking for us this coming Wednesday. Remember Brother Bob. He's at Brother Andre's up in Tennessee today preaching for him. And also remember next Sunday, December the 19th, there'll only be one service. And the dinner will be at Hidden Acres. The service will be here. Now, we will have Sunday school class next Sunday. Kids, young adults, regular Sunday school class, but I want you to do your gifts while you're here. Do your gifts here. I think y'all did that last year. But do your gifts here. That way when we go to Hidden Acres, we'll only have what Brother Dale gives out and the different, your coins and all will be given out down there. All right. Also, Brother Boyd has requested that they're going to do a skit, but they want to do it here. Because of the sound and because of being a little more intimate, they want to do it here. So we will add that into the service next Sunday, and then we will try to cut it all short and get down to Hidden Acres, same place we had it last year, and have a catered dinner down there. So everybody got that? That's next Sunday. No second service. We've got it till like 5 o'clock in the afternoon down there. So please, everyone, come. All right. On December 22nd, Brother Bob will be preaching. On Christmas, the day after Christmas, which will be Sunday, December the 26th, there'll only be one service at 11 o'clock. No Sunday school. A lot of people are going to be gone, and that's okay. But if you're here, we're going to have church. All right? So we're going to have church at 11 o'clock on that day, one service, and no Sunday school on the 26th. And on December the 29th, there'll be no service. That's Wednesday because we're going to have service all night, Friday night. Because on December the 31st, we will have our probably 50 years in a row. I don't think it's been a year we've not had it. We've had it 50 years, I guess, in a row at least of watch night service. I don't think we've ever had to cancel one. but we're having it this year. Brother Chris Long will be speaking for us again, and that'll be from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock on Friday evening. Okay. Also, remember Brother Luis and Sister Christine. I appreciate them sending all the updates. Brother Luis, you know, had a fever coming off the mountain, and we all were in prayer for that, and we know the fever broke, and he's feeling better. He's still doing a lot of stuff that he needs to take a little bit of a time to let his body rest. So we're going to pray that God will rest his body. Amen. And also Sister Christine and the girls, they're all singing and they're learning the culture there and playing with parakeets, and they're doing all kinds of things. If you'll look online on WhatsApp and then look on their Facebook page, you'll see all that. Also, before we get started, remember the people in Mayfield, Kentucky. We don't know those people, but they're human beings. And there's just hundreds of people dead from there all the way up into Jeffersonville, Indiana. So if you look at the devastation, you know what I think, Brother John? That's what's going to happen when we leave this place. It's going to be worldwide, not just a little small piece. It's going to be worldwide. Let's get out of this place. Amen. We have a shelter. We have a place to go. And his name is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So let's remember all these things. To wedding today, 2 o'clock, 6 o'clock reception, no second service. The 2 o'clock service will be the wedding service. Brother Aaron will be preaching Wednesday night, and then we'll keep announcing the rest of this. Pray for Brother Bob. He's Brother Andre's preaching for them, and remember the service next week. All minds clear? Let's bow our heads just for a few moments and speak to the author of the word. The Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, today that you would speak to us, Lord. You've already spoke to us through song and the different things that we did, Lord. We appreciate, Lord, what everybody does in this church, Lord, because we are truly the bride of Jesus Christ. We are an exceptional group of people, but we trust in you for everything that we do. As Brother John said, you give us 90% of that money that we earn, and we should be good stewards of that. Give our 10% and then use the other wisely for the kingdom of God. Father, we pray that you'd be with us now. Take care of us. Be with us in the furtherment of the service. Bless the ones that are sick, Lord. Anna's family, Anna and Richard, Lord, being sick there at home. All the different ones. Leah, June's dad. Remember him, Lord. They're doing his therapy this week. Lord, may get to go home in a week or so. We pray that you'd be with him, Lord. Just take care of each and every one of us, Lord. Satan would love to destroy us. He'd love to get rid of us. But, Lord, until you're finished with us, he's not going to be able to touch us. So, Father, we pray that you'd be with us in this service. Take care of each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue on with who is this Son of Man. We'll read John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus told him before he left, and we'll get to it a little bit later, he said, I'm coming back. He said, you'll see me. He said, the world will see me no more. The world's not going to see this Son of Man until he's sitting in judgment. Amen? We don't want to be that group of people to just see him in judgment. We want to see him, Lord, in the clouds when we get out of here. Right? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave he power, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Look how John separates that. Nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's read Hebrews 10:5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I want to read you a little quote here on Countdown. They don't have this, but that's okay. I thought about this and picked it up in the back. So I believe that everything on earth reflects heaven. I believe that because you see everything struggling for life is because there is a life that it's reflected from. See, we wouldn't have anything to reflect from if God hadn't came here in human flesh. All right, that's my whole point. And believe that when God made the man, he started reflecting the smaller things, such as the animal life. Then the next thing he created was something different. That's just exactly the way the Bible says he did it. He made first the trees, the botany life, and he made man. And then the last thing that ever come from the earth in the form of creation was a man. Nothing higher ever come. Because why? Here's my point. It was a perfect reflection of the highest in heaven, which God is a man. See, God is a man. So therefore it proves it. And when God came down to dwell among us, he was a man. The Son of Man. God is a man. A man, so it shows that the perfection of evolution was God, which is a man. So this Son of Man that we're talking about, we can read many things, and we've been reading many things, and we read this scripture where the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That Word had to come. That person had to come that was being made flesh. He had to come according to the Word. We've heard that before. But listen, that's the same way you come. You can't come any way contrary to the Word of God. You've got to come the same way. You might have cried and this one shouted, but you got the same thing. If you got the Holy Ghost, you got the same person. Amen? You got the same man. All right? That man come to you called Jesus Christ. And he the one that gave his life for you. Right? So wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice an offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. So I'm going to continue on through this. On the masterpiece number one, we see that Brother Brown says, the body was built by the Word, which was the prophets. And here comes the head of it all. Jesus came on the scene. And I want to compile a few things. How many times in the scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Jesus was literally quoting the Old Testament, word by word. Because he was that Word. He couldn't misquote it. But he looks at the people of the world, of the religious people of the world that day, and he says, you're misquoting it. Because you've made your traditions the Word. And it's not. That's what he was telling them, right? He said, you've made those traditions, you've made them to where nobody can attain to this. To where nobody. But remember, as Brother Dale's always said, the Old Testament, and I'll read it to you a little bit later, where Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. He had to come to fulfill the law and make it honorable. In other words, livable. That's what this Son of Man come to do. He come to make it so that you and I can sit in this church today and live what he lived. He said, oh, no, I can't do that. Well, then you can't because you can't. Because he said, be ye therefore perfect. He said, I and my Father are one, and I want you and us to be one just as our Father is one. I want you to be with me. I'll be with you even in you till then. Where's the separation part of this? Where's the part that we get all scrupled up that, well, I can't be this. Well, I can't be that. Guess what? We stop it ourselves. God will never stop you from being perfect. But the world will tell you, well, I was born imperfect, and I just can't help what I do. Well, yeah, you can. You get the helper inside of you, and I'll promise you, you'll quit the stupid things you're doing. Amen? I mean, we might do stupid human things, but I'm talking about the carousing and not coming to church and doing all that. I promise you, you get a born-again experience, you don't have to preach about those things. It's like Brother Dale's always said, get them born again. Get them born again. Get that person inside of them, and you don't have to preach to them. You prove who you are by what's inside of you today. This is the day of manifestation. You're going to prove who you are. The Son of Man proved who he was every day. Even in his natural life, and we'll read it in just a little while, where his mother and they go to a wedding, and he turns water into wine. He was, you know, he didn't get up that morning and go, well, I think I'm going to turn what? No, he just went with his mama to the wedding. Found out that the wine was gone. And guess what? He goes and turns the water into wine. All right. What about us? Like Brother John is talking about, even our financial life and it's kind of coordinated with our spiritual life somewhat. But you have to be careful with that because, you know, Job lost everything he had and he was a good guy. But God restored him twofold through the journey, when his journey was over. So we can't totally discredit that. And we can't totally discredit that the Bible says Lazarus was a beggar. Remember when he was in the bosom of Abraham, he was a beggar and he was poor. So just be careful with that. We can be the richest people in the world financially and be dead as all get out in our spiritual life. Amen. But it doesn't hurt to have both. Have a good spiritual life and a good financial life. So I enjoyed that. That's really good, Brother John. Like I said before, you had some snitches that told that you had some more of that left. So that's why you... But he did a good job, though. A real good job. That's why I think a good established church has got people that if one can't be here, another one steps right in. And don't miss a lick. Don't miss a lick. You just step right in and do the job. This one can't do this, and this one steps right in and does the job. Listen, our training has to come from within. Amen? Our training, when you've got a call in your life, it comes from inside. It doesn't come from external things. Remember what Brother Brown said? Daddy called and Mama sent. We don't want to be a preacher that's Daddy called and Mama sent. We want to have God that called us. And then it make Mom and Daddy a little bit happier. Amen? But we still have to live this life. It's like Brother John read the quote. You know, Brother Brown said, if you were building a house and you knew the Lord was coming, continue to build the house. Let's don't be nuts because of that. Let's don't take it to the extreme. We've seen that in the past. That did happen, Brother John, years ago. These people run up all these debts because the Lord was coming in 1977, so they just run up all this kind of debt. Guess what? They still got the debt. Because, you know, it's what you're thinking. What you think in your heart. That's what God knows. He knows what you think in your heart. Doesn't matter what you portray everywhere else. It's what God knows in your heart. Okay, so I don't know where that came from, but God bless you for that. But anyway, but a body was built by the word, which was the prophets, and here comes the head of it all. Jesus came on the scene. So you got pieces over here, pieces over here. I was trying to, you know, there's a thing in Brother Dale's study that shows a Bible flipping open, and as the Bible's flipping open, Jesus is stepping out of the Bible. As the pages come up like this, Jesus comes up and it's an image of him walking out of the Bible. Well, that's literally what he done. He literally walked out of the Word of God. Now, see, if that's our example, though. Come on, people. If that's our example. When you and I get born again, the same image should come as the Word's being opened and unfolded. Then it should be you stepping out of those pages. A walking Bible. Amen? You say, oh, that's for Jesus. I thought he'd come here to give it to you. I don't want people to throw that in my face. Well, that was just for Jesus. I thought he said, everything's been given to me, and I'm going to give it to you. Even Paul picks it up and says, heirs and joint heirs. We get the same thing Jesus gets. Amen? Because listen, if the same Spirit dwells in us that dwells in him, guess what? We're going to have a quickening. We're going to have a resurrection. I promise you that. But this baby had to get here, and this is the time of the year that the people think that baby Jesus was born. Well, we know it's not, and there's many arguments about that, but we know lambs are born in April, the prophet of God told us. But we enjoy this time of the year because most of the time people are happy this time of the year. Thank goodness for just maybe a couple of days that people are happy. Amen? Same way with us. And we give gifts. And we get gifts. All these people that don't want to celebrate Christmas, that's okay. That's all right. You do what you need to do. Luke 1 verse 30 says, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And we know that was a angel coming to Mary. Look at number 2. And he fit every gift. That's what we were talking about last Sunday. When the three wise men came to Jesus, they had three gifts, and Brother Brown said that totally applied to everything in his life, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And the same thing with me and you. When you and I are born again, I believe we get gifts. do you use them? Because it's in that book, that the pages it opens, that's you. Now see, I can't sing worth a lick or play a guitar, but some of y'all can. And some of y'all try not to, that can. You need to use your gift. Because that's what God came as a man, to give us these gifts. As the three wise men brought gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, deity dedicated to death. He was dedicated to die for me and you. I like this next one down here at the bottom. He wasn't nothing less than God. He was God manifested in flesh. He was the creator in his own creation. He was the creator in his own creation, by the creation, for the creation. So when Gabriel came and told Mary, see, listen, Gabriel was the messenger. Gabriel wasn't one that planted the... No, God did. God created the egg and the sperm, placed it in Mary. Everybody got that? We know that. But it was, he was created his own self, which makes him, in a few minutes, the beginning of the creation of God. I hope we understand that, because you know what? There's a continuation of that creation. Was there not a continuation of the creation? If he's the beginning, there's got to be more to come. Amen? So now, and he was a being on earth, a being of time, which means that he must have had a beginning. Therefore, he created himself a body to live in. God himself created a body for himself, that by this creation, he might save the lost creation that he created. Amen? Now look at number three. Who was this man? Jehovah. Lying, crying like a baby. Can you imagine it? We talked about it week before last, how that baby was God Almighty in human flesh. No less God, no more God. He was God Almighty in human flesh. We know that. In Revelation 3, verse 14, this is to me and you. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. The beginning of the creation of God, as we talked about before. I believe this is the way God wanted it to be had there not been a fall. You can think of it any way you want to, but remember God, when we were talking about eternal redemption, there's a thread, and God can't get away from that thread. He's consistent. Thank God he's consistent. Everything he does over here has got a purpose, and it's going to happen over here. Because you and I were supposed to be born without sex, then we're born again without sex. Right? We're born again without that desire. Born again, not born of flesh, as John was talking about, but born of the Spirit of God. That's why Jesus said you must be born from above. Everybody okay with that? But he is the beginning of the creation of God, and we're a continuation of that creation. And now here's a baby being born, and then he has to grow up, like we were talking about. He has to grow up, but now he doesn't manifest that beginning of the creation of God the way he wants to until when? Until he dies. Because the Bible said he had to die. To what? Isaiah 53. He gave his soul a ransom so he could see his seed. So when he gave his soul a ransom, he came back on the day of Pentecost. There's when that rest of that part of that creation began to unfold. Peter, James, John, 120, 3,000. That's when he really manifested who he was, but he had to be an example for that 30 years that he was alive. 33 years he was alive. He had to be the example, the prime example, so that's why we have to go back to that example every time. If we get away from that example, I was telling Brother Richard Hyatt and them this weekend, we look at the example and not saying, here we go again, not saying anything bad about people that don't see the truth. But we're the only people that can make this Bible live to its 100% truth like Jesus did. Because you take this denomination over here, they say, well, we're going to take a Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. Well, see, you've already tore a piece of the Son of Man off. Amen? God winks at the ignorance of that, but that's not the fullness. Because it's been torn off. Like we're going to read here in a minute where Jesus was handed a scroll. a book, which they didn't have books back then. They had a scroll. The scroll was rolled up and it was handed to Jesus. He unfolded it, read it, folded it back up and handed it back to the priest. That's exactly what he'd done with his time here on earth. He came here to open himself up, to reveal himself, and for everybody to read about him. Because all they had to do is read the Old Testament. He came exactly that way. He didn't miss it by one sentence, one word. He was the very word made manifest. So why can't you and I, if we got that same guy in us? It's that memory, reason, conscious, affection. It's that spirit realm that we have a problem with. We all know that. And that's the part we need to work on. You listen, let that soul out and let it live. I don't care if it's even evil. At least let it out. Quit pretending. Let it out. You know what? If you let it out, then God can do something about it. But if you don't let it out, God cannot do anything for you. Amen? But you got to let it out. Jesus did. He let it out. He gave his soul a ransom for me and you. He died so that we don't have to. Sure, we see physical death, but I promise you, if you're born again today, you'll never die. That's what Jesus was talking about. He said, you'll never die. He said, you drink of this water and you eat of this bread, and we'll get into those things, those symbols a little bit later on. But he stood up one day and he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, he said, you'll have no part. Now, it took a revelation to figure that out, and we got that revelation because we know what that is. We're partaking right now. The prophet of God tells us we're feeding, and that's later on in the message, we're feeding on the body word of what? Not the Son of God. The Son of Man. Because that man had a body. And we can see that body. Listen, by faith, you ought to be able to see that body. We know that Brother Branham saw him up in a cloud or in a vision. We know that. But you and I should be able to say, that's exactly the truth. That ain't nothing but the truth. So that's what he looks like. He looks like that, almost to that, he said. So that's what we're looking at. All right, now look, Luke 2 verse 39 says, oh, this person, see, child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Skip on down a little further, and when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast, and I'll just paraphrase this just for a minute. What they did was, is remember they lost him. They left a 12-year-old boy alone. But there was a purpose behind every bit of that. Amen? Because what did Jesus do? See, their problem was they went to the Feast of Passover probably maybe just to eat or just to kill one. You know, once you had the sacrifice killed, you were done. You didn't have to do anything else. Right? You could just go on back to the house. Well, they were going on back to the house. But listen, where'd Jesus go? He went to the church. He went to church, and he went to church, and he was asking them questions. But remember, watch this. In same way in mine and your journey, as far as being Christians, we're going to go from baby form to adoption, because we got to get to Mount Transfiguration, and we'll get to it at the very end of the service here, where he went up and was transfigured, and God said, hear ye him. Now listen, it wasn't that you're not supposed to hear him over here. But he was given the authority of that person to the world so the world can see it. I like what Brother Branham said one time. He said, this message was not hidden in the corner. This message went around the world seven times. This message was vindicated. And the whole world saw it. Same way with Jesus, folks. Listen, everybody, now we know the whole world didn't see him. We know, you know, there wasn't television at that time. But still, the whole world that was around him was supposed to be able to see him, and they did not see who he was. So they're not going to see who you are. Listen, if you and I was telling them this past weekend, odd people. I like the sermon Brother Brown preached called Oddball. Because we are odd to the world. You go walk through the world, and you don't do the things they do, and you think in your mind they crazy. Well, they thinking in their mind you crazy. So that's okay. I like what Brother Branham said, that sign on that said, I'm a fool for Christ. And then he said, the sign on the back said, whose fool are you? Right. Amen. You're either going to be a fool for the devil or a fool for God. So I think I'll just be a fool for God. Amen. Amen. But Jesus was always misunderstood. Anybody that lived so close to God like Brother Branham did was so totally misunderstood. Amen? Brother Dale was one of the most misunderstood people in the message. Just telling you. Right? Aaron, everybody's talked to people. They don't can't understand him. They don't know what he's talking about. Ain't never bothered me none. You know, because I said, Lord, fill my cup. I'm going to open my cup up. Let me have some of that. Don't make me scared of it. A lot of people are scared of this thing. Don't be scared of it. It's for you. It's the children's bread. It's that gift that you've got. It's the gift. It's been given. Listen, we give gifts at Christmas time, right? Now, wait a minute. You give a gift and expect one in return? I'm going to close my eyes because some of you are going to say, yep. I don't want to know who you are. If you give a gift, expect a return, it's not a gift. It's like, Brother John, it's like a loan. Dave Ramsey always tells you, you know, he says, turkey dinner tastes a lot different at Thanksgiving if your kids owe you money. Or if you owe your mom and daddy money. So the best thing to do is give it to them. It's a gift. If they pay you back, surprise! That's the same way with God. He's not going to give you a gift and then expect. You know what? The only thing he's going to expect? Use it. Amen. He's going to expect you to use it. If he gives it to you, use it. Amen. Now, we know that people like Elvis Presley, look, Brother Brown said he had a gift. He had an anointing. Yes. He could have sent millions of souls to heaven. But instead, he took money and popularity and sent millions of people to hell. That's the fine line. Amen. So God gives you a gift, folks. You need to use it. Amen. And use it for the glory of God. Let that thing out. Use it. But they found him in the temple. But remember, when he was 12 years old, which we've already discussed that a little bit, I want to cover this for a second. I was thinking about it in Kentucky the other day. You've got two scenarios. Jesus in a temple at 12. Now watch your life. Jesus in the temple at 12. And Jesus in the temple at 30, or 31-ish. Everybody got that? There's in right here in Luke 2, verse 39. Then over in Luke 4, he's growed up, and now he's in the temple again. There's two different scenarios. This scenario, what was he doing? And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Okay? God asking questions? Yeah, that's what it says. Jesus was asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. But that didn't convert nobody. But now you come over here to Luke 4, and we'll read that a little bit later on. In Luke 4, there's some authority comes into being. There's some maturity comes into being. He's not in just the temple sitting in the corner. No, he's sitting on the front row. Actually, he's probably sitting somewhere in a seat. He's done made it up to this part, this section, that he can be handed a scroll, and what they heard him say, they listened to him. Same way with me and you. You and I must have authority. Now listen, Brother Dale and I were talking about this the other day. Power without character is satanic. Okay? But we stop there and go, okay, power without character is satanic. No, read the rest of the quote. But power with character is fit to rule. And that's what God had. He had power with character. So listen, if he can have power with character, so can you. That's the gifts. The statue of a perfect man. He's given these things to you. What are you doing with it? He's given you a Christmas gift. What are you doing with it? Amen? So in other words, Jesus said, must I be about my Father's business? They understood not what he was saying. See, even the people around, even his own mama and father, and Brother Brown said she denied the virgin birth by saying me and your daddy. All right? And so that just solidified with a lot of people around him that he was Joseph's daddy. Right? If you'd have heard the mother say, your father and I have sought you diligently, right? Because we see over in Luke 4, when this scenario happens in Luke 4, somebody steps up and goes, isn't that Joseph's boy? Isn't that Joseph's boy? No, that ain't Joseph's boy. If he's been about his father's business, he'd been in a carpenter shop. Right. Right. Hebrews 5 verse 8 says, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Yes. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. We couldn't understand God without Jesus Christ being here. There's no way to understand anything. Look at the Old Testament. They didn't understand any of it. They just knew to bow and go every 7 days and kill this lamb and do this and don't do that. Amen? But that ain't what that was about, right? But we had a promise in Matthew 3 verse 11 that says, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So we know that there's something going to happen. Jesus is going to have to be washed. We see this as John. Have you ever took everything that John said? Now, John only said a few things in the Bible. But if you can't put that, Brother Branham's the same way. He comes out of the wilderness. How many times has Brother Branham tell you about John and you're going, that happened to you, Brother Branham? You come out of the wilderness. You love the wilderness. You're against all them people. And you preach marriage and divorce. You hate bad women. Amen? And he introduced the Son of Man. Brother Branham introduced to the world the Son of Man. John the Baptist introduced to the world the Son of Man. Amen? John introduced the head, so is the prophet of God in the end time. That's why I believe he was so important. Not only for all the other things to put everything back together, but he brought the headstone back where it could sit on the building and be a complete pyramid. Amen? So let's read this right here. Continue right here real quick. Let's go to verse 15, brothers. And Jesus answered and said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then, in other words, he baptized him. Remember, Jesus didn't need to be baptized, but you and I do. All right? But it's a symbol of him washing the sacrifice. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You and I, the same time. Not with our baptism. Listen, your baptism doesn't save you. Your confession to God is what saves you. The baptism is just a good conscience to tell the world that, hey, in other words, I'm being washed. When I was literally baptized in 1997, cold day in January, when I come out of the water, I felt like there wasn't anything inside of me. I just cried, grabbed a hold of June and cried, because that's all I needed to do. I was so empty. My thoughts were empty. I wasn't condemned with what I had done previously. Now, wait a minute. Later on, he came and did that. But at that moment of time, there was something around me that kept that out of the way. Amen? You know what it was? I had done what God told me to do. And then when you do what God told you to, tells you to do, you can point back at the Word and say, Lord, you said if I'd get baptized the correct way, that you'd give me the Holy Ghost. So about 6 months later, he gave me the Holy Ghost. Amen? You go by the prescribed way that God does it, and he'll have to give it to you. Brother Brown said, take him at his word. Because he is the word. If you take him as the word, that's him. And who is coming to you at the new birth? The person of Jesus Christ inside of you as the Holy Ghost. Everybody got that? All right. So now let's go where Brother Brown says, I love this quote in the future home, number 5. Brother Brown says, this is my part of the earth. In other words, when Jesus come out of the water, John saw that dove coming down, or the form of a dove, and a voice saying, this is my part of the earth that I have redeemed. And from this part of the earth, I will redeem the rest of it. Amen. Why? He came from here. His body was created. It was 16 elements. It was just like ours. But it settled on a person that could redeem. You and I were born in sin. Born right out of this soil that we're standing on. Amen? But by the transforming power of the new birth, we accept that part that Jesus did for us. And this is my part of the earth that I have redeemed. And from this part of the earth, I will redeem Wade Dale. You got to put your name in there. I will redeem the rest of it, for he is my word made manifest. So what does that make you? That makes you the word made manifest. And the whole world, I spoke it into existence by my word, Hebrews 11. And Satan has held it all this time, but I've come to redeem it. So much of it is made his body, and I'm coming to dwell in it. Let's go to Luke 4, verse 1. We read this a couple weeks ago, but we're going to read it again. Luke 4, verse 1 says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost." Now, this is right after the baptism. And listen, we know that Jesus didn't need the Holy Ghost. He was the Holy Ghost. If he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, fullness of the Godhead bodily, which is what? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen? Then he had all those three attributes. He was all those three attributes. But he had to receive an anointing to go preach his message. And that anointing was the Holy Ghost. You know, Brother Branham could stand and preach under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, give us revelation, and preach to us for a couple of hours under an anointing, and then he said he'd have to switch gears. Right. Now, folks, he didn't call another Holy Ghost to come help him. Right. I mean, come on. Right. But he moved over into another anointing of the same Holy Ghost. So he could discern and heal, heal the sick, so that God can heal the sick. But it's the same Holy Ghost. It wasn't that he had to get him another one. So Jesus, being the full of the Holy Ghost, was the Holy Ghost. He got an anointing of the Holy Ghost to preach the message. Listen, when he was 12 and 13 in that temple, he didn't say a word except asking questions and talking to those people. But watch here in Luke 4, verse 1. "Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Being 40 days," we saw this before, but watch what happened. Look at verse 4. He says, "It is written." Now let's go to verse 8. Verse 8, it says, "It is written." Jesus is quoting him scripture. Quoting him scripture. Quoting him scripture. Now look at number 12. "He finally took all he can take, and Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said." Not written. It is said. In other words, I'm telling you, devil, and there was something that Satan felt, not with the other two. Because he just kept coming back. He just kept coming back. But when Jesus looked at him and said, "Hey, buddy, it's said. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And Satan left him. But now remember, he only departed him for a season. Satan is very persistent. I wish we were as persistent as he was. Amen. Luke 4, verse 16, we got to continue with this journey. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to church on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." So see, now he's standing up and reading. Now he's getting some authority. But what is he doing? "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah." Now remember, they didn't have books, they had scrolls. Everybody with me? Wake up a minute. Scrolls, they had scrolls. Now that scroll was handed to Jesus. And what did Jesus do with it? He knew what to do with it because he was the Word. What's the first thing he did? Can you read those words in there for me? Can you read them? Why? Oh, well, but when it's open, can y'all read that? Okay. So that's what Jesus did. He opened the book. Now watch. Can you and I do the same thing? Because we've been given now not a closed book. We've been given an open book. We were handed this seven-seal book with the seals off of it. so that we can read what exactly is being done. Now, look, see, when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. In other words, he found a place where he was. He didn't read about anybody else, about Moses. He read about himself. Now, I didn't bring this quote, but I quoted it to him in Kentucky last week. And I'll bring it to you if you need it, but all you got to do is put in greatest anointing. The prophet of God said the greatest anointing to ever hit the earth was not the first day of creation, was not the day he created Adam, was not the day he became a baby. It wasn't a shouting time. Brother Ram said, I believe the quote says they weren't walking on the walls. He said the greatest anointing to ever strike the earth was when Jesus sat down and opened that book. He found himself in the Bible. See, that should be your greatest anointing. If you can find yourself in the Bible, how in the world can Satan, how can he do anything with you? If you can find yourself in the Bible and say, Satan, do like Brother, not Brother Maloney, but Brother Schrader, he said, Satan, if you're going to play in my mind, you're going to look through my eyes, we're going to read the Bible. Amen. And that means something, because how many times has the devil said, oh, you don't need to read that. Right. Oh, you don't need to read that. Yeah, we're going to read that. Yes. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So he opened the book. The Son of Man opened the book. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Pretty personal. He didn't say it's upon you. He said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now that scripture, he stopped mid-scripture. Because that pertained to his second coming. He knew where to stop and he knew where to start. How about me and you? And he closed the book back up. And he handed it back to the rabbi. And I'm sure the old rabbi's like, what's he fixing to say now? What'd he say? He said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Listen, the Son of Man opened the book. The Son of Man read where he was at in the book. And then he closed the book back up and never opened it back again until the end time. Revelation 10:1. Mighty angel comes down with the book. Now remember, it's not a book, it's a scroll. And it was open. The seventh angel, when he introduced the Son of Man, that's the problem was, they thought Brother Branham was the Son of Man. No, he was introducing the Son of Man, just like John. Because they even asked, even Jesus said, who do you say I am? They said, oh, you're John the Baptist. Look how close that was. He wasn't John the Baptist. John the Baptist was close to him. That's why they couldn't separate him, same way with Brother Branham. But when that book got closed back up, look, he closed the book back, gave it to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Your ears. John 5 verse 25 says, look, verily, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Now watch. Hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear him shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so hath he given to the Son of Man. Because listen, the voice of the resurrection is the Son of Man. Who stood at Lazarus' tomb? The Son of Man. The Son of Man stood at Lazarus' tomb and said, I am the resurrection and the life. But remember, it was the Son of God that was inside that man. That at that time had the authority. You gotta be careful with that. Because listen, why did Jesus one day, he said, now, if you speak against the Son of Man, you're okay. You can curse him and whatever you want to do, because see, that's how Peter got out of it. I mean, he didn't get out of it, but You understand how Peter got by with cursing? He said, but when the Holy Ghost has come, when the Son of God comes inside of that person and said, you speak against him. And he said, you're not speaking against him. You're speaking against me. And he said, that'll never be forgiven. You see the dispensation. The dispensation changes now. That's why now, even we're going to read it, not tonight, today, but a little bit later on, where Jesus said the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. Power on earth to forgive sins. They said, Brother Branham, you forgive those people their sins. He said, that's not too far off. Right? What do you say when I forgive you when somebody does something to you? When somebody does something to you, have you got the authority to say, I forgive you, and then God honors that? I believe so. I believe so. I believe God honors that if you're truly born again and truly in the Word of God. Then you, absolutely, because even if we pray somebody, how many people have been healed? Oh my, almost 100%. How many people have been healed? Guess what? The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Then the scripture tells us, if they have any sin. Do you read that part? They will be forgiven also. Wow. Because somebody's praying for you. Somebody is anointing you. Somebody is doing what God said. They've got an open book.
Yes.
That we're reading from an open book.
Yes.
Listen, the only way we're going to take a rapture is by an open book.
Yes,
we can't take a rapture with a closed book. A closed book, you can have 13,000 different denominations built out of it. But when you have an open book, you can only have one doctrine. Not 20, not 50. I'm talking about message 2. Brother Joe and I were talking a few minutes ago. This message, people are so divided. We are so divided over this and that and the other. That's why we're still here 60 years after the prophets left. Can't get together on anything hardly. But he and I agreed. Somebody is going to produce that Son of Man ministering just like Jesus produced it. And we're going to take a resurrection and a rapture. Amen? I just believe that. I just believe that. Somebody! And as to be an astronaut on countdown is where that quote was about God being a man. I believe it was. Brother Bram said, we have to be pressurized for the age. Are we pressurized? I'm asking you. Sure, we can, listen, we can be pressurized. What did I read y'all the other day about Brother Bram said, in the church ages, they did just enough to get by. Now that made them Christians, that made them born again, that made them bride, but they got just enough. Even your five wise and five foolish virgins. What did the five wise say? Oh, we got plenty. We got buckets full of it. No, the wise said, we've got just enough to get through. We can't spare a dime. We can't spare an ounce. That's why we're going to make it, but we're going to make it by the skin of our teeth. Amen? Won't be a flower bed of ease. It'll be a battle all the way up to the end. Amen? Listen to this. John 2, verse 1. Let's go to that one, brothers. Now remember, what was the first miracle Jesus did? We're going to have a wedding here in just a minute. So the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. That Jesus got an invitation. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he said do, do it. Now this is the same woman that denied the virgin birth, okay? But remember, she didn't have the Holy Ghost in her to lead her. Amen? And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. And then we know what happened. But there were six water pots. I can just picture Jesus standing at the end of those six water pots. There'd be one, two, three, four, five, six. And there stood the seventh water pot. He was so full of wine, till he just turned all them other ones into wine. All the church ages saw and got, what's wine? Symbol of the Holy Ghost, right? Wine, stimulation or revelation, the Holy Ghost. Six church ages, they had the water pots. But in the seventh church age, somebody showed up in flesh. Amen? Now, it's not William Branham. Now, he was revealing the Son of Man, but he wasn't the Son of Man. The Son of Man is me and you collectively as a body, not one person. That's what you and I have got to see. You can't say, well, we've had many people preach Son of Man doctrines back when, and Lord, I remember one that they told me about that preached on the Son of Man, and he believed he was the Son of Man, I guess, because he had multiple brides. So, but you see, always, if you're not in the Word 100%, all right, if you're just fooling around, you can get an anointing of God. We know that. Gifts and callings are without repentance. Amen? And you can preach, because he was preaching on the Son of Man long before we heard. This is a man way back. Brother Claude Weisinger was telling me back in the early 80s. They said he was preaching it right down the line, but he had girlfriends. See, somewhere they're going to go off. But you take somebody that's purely in the Word of God, all of us here, purely in the Word of God, we're going to produce that Son of Man. Somebody's going to do it. I keep saying that until somebody says, it's me. Be it unto me according to thy word. Brother Branham, that ain't nothing but the truth. Amen? Let's go to John 3, verse 1, and then we'll stop right here. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we know what he's saying. This is to Nicodemus. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit. Nicodemus said, what? How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? He's talking about flesh. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whether it come or whether it go. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, are thou not a master of Israel? And knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know. He knew who he was. And testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. In other words, I'm standing in front of you today. You should be able to at least, Nicodemus, feel this anointing that I've got. You should be able to listen, because he's continuing. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended. Now this really probably rolled his eyes around, because no man has ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Wow. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, believeth in him, not believe, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might through him, might be saved. No other salvation outside of the Son of Man. Listen, even the Son of Man died on the cross. And that took those Old Testament saints also. Amen? They resurrected under that. And he that believeth on him is not condemned. The he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What's the name of the only begotten Son of God? Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Listen to this, number 6. Meanest man I know, Phoenix, Arizona, Brother Ram said, perhaps maybe he just go through with a sermon of, you know, Jesus' first doctrine. Did you ever know what it was? You must be born again. That was his first doctrine. So that should be the first thing that we deal with instead of do's and don'ts. Brother Brown said, don't cut your hair. No, he didn't say that. The Bible said it. It's in the Bible. It's what we were talking about in Kentucky. That's why I was making a point a minute ago. We take this Bible and you say, well, if you're witnessing to somebody and they say, well, and you just ask them a question, say, why do you cut your hair? Why are you able to cut your hair? If you're saying, you know, the first thing you always ask the women is hair and dress. Why don't you wear pants and why don't you cut your hair? Well, you know what, sisters? Don't say because Brother Branham said. Because they really don't care what Brother Branham said at that moment. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Let me read it to you. And then you know what I would say? Like I said before to someone, was talking about all these other things. I said, look, I'm going to read you in the Bible with words. Just plain read it right here. Now, who told you you could do what you're doing? Throw it back at them. Say, look, if you can cut your hair and wear pants and be a Christian or whatever. We always say hair and dress. It's everything. Men, cursing, all the anything. You can read in the Bible. I was reading yesterday where the Bible tells us that this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Not to defile this temple. How can you defile this temple and God be dwelling inside of you? How can you do that? And that's like I told that man that had the beer that time. And he said, well, I'm glad you got saved, you know, because he said he was saved. And I said, John, what'd you get saved from? And he really never said it like that. Same way with the Bible. You take the Bible and you witness to people. You take the Bible and read the Bible. And then they say, well, that's not what my, right? Church, pastor, organization, that's what my denomination believes. Well, why do you make it strange with me? The way I'm living, you're saying I'm strange, and I can read it to you in the Bible, and you're telling me that some man got up in the pulpit and told you it was all right to do it. You got that right. There's something wrong. If we can read it out of the Bible, that's why I said we have an open book. We can read it right back to them. They can't read where they can do these things. They can't read where they can defile their body and still be born again. They can't do that. No way. And that's not hard. No, don't be a hard witness. But if somebody ever nails you down, just say, look, I can read what I'm doing out of here. Where do you read what you can do at? Find me the book. Because this one says Holy Bible. I don't know where yours comes from. Right. Amen? Amen? All right, let's read this and then we're done. Musicians, come on. We're going to skip a little bit forward and read this scenario here and then we're going to drop back. Give you something to think about. Matthew 17, verse 8. It says, when they had lifted up their eyes. Now, this is on Mount Transfiguration. This is when Jesus was coming to the end of his ministry. And they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. He's going to die a physical death in just like 6 months from now. The Son of Man, the person. But he says, risen again from the dead. Now watch, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? They quote, you know what they're quoting? Malachi 4. Everybody understand that? Why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? Because Malachi 4, the ending of the Old Testament, Malachi 4, 5, and 6 says that, that I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's why they know Elijah's got to show up. The Jews do. Yes. So adamant about that because that's their last Bible. That's their last Bible. Remember, their Bible's not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and all the other ones. It stops at Malachi. And these people are telling him the same thing. Why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, let's stand to our feet. Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. all things. Speaking of the end time. While the prophet of God had to indict this generation for the second crucifixion. You know what it was? Their traditions. What crucified him the first time? The religious people of the world. What's crucifying him in the end time? The religious people of the world. I don't want religion, I want salvation.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Let's sing a song. Remember the wedding, so when we get finished, head downstairs and let everybody start doing their thing.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how blessed.
Yeah. I want to see my brother Dale. He's driving by 60.
On the everlasting arms, leaning.
Here stands a natural brother asking for a natural brother's life.
Yes.
And Father, that's you, Lord.
Yes.
Whether Dale believes, we're going to believe for him.
Amen.
That thing will be not in his body, Lord, and he'll gain his weight back. And Lord, that you'll shine. You'll show them that unbelief is not of you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Father, come on the scene, please. And heal our brother, Lord. He's been good to us, Lord. He's been good to the family, Lord. Now I pray that you'd be good to him, Lord. And touch his body in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you, buddy.
Sing on the everlasting. Oh,
sing it to him.
What have I to dread?
Hey, buddy. Job and even just to live, Lord. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we rebuke that devil that's trying to get him, Lord, in his back. Father, we all have to use our back. We all have had back problems before, Lord, but you brought us out of it, Father. Now I pray that you, Lord, anoint our brother, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take this pain away from him, Lord, and may he be healed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You believe, buddy. Just keep believing. Just keep walking on.
Sing on. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Safe and secure from.
Concerned about natural family, Lord, and natural friends. Lord, that just shows there's a God, Lord, inside that has a need, Lord, for this world, Lord, to be saved. Father, we pray that you'll naturally save those people, Lord, and they not be hurt, Lord. We know they may have lost material goods, but Father, somehow in all this, Lord, may you come on the scene and bless them with spiritual blessings, Lord, that he'll be, Lord, contacted by some of them to say that they're okay, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would bless our brother, Lord, and give him the anointing, Lord, to do that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Leaning, leaning, leaning.
Yes, ma'am.
Everlasting arms. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting.
You know what it is, Lord. Because you know the hearts of men. You knew what she would ask before the foundation of the world. And now, Lord, she's come to stand, Lord, to confess that she needs something from you, Lord, this week, Lord. Now we pray with her and we bind with her, Lord, that this thing will come to pass as she asks in Jesus' name. Amen. Come to pass like you say. Okay? Like you say.
I'm leaning on the everlasting arm.
Amen. Leaning on Jesus.
Amen.
Safe and secure. This world is falling apart, folks. You better not depend on your job or the government to keep you going. You better depend on God, because he'll take care of you. He said he'd never leave you or forsake you. This is that same guy I was talking about. Same man. He'll never leave you or forsake you. But you got to yield yourself to him. Use your gift. If you got a gift, let it out. Let that gift out with God. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. We pray now to the Lord as we go eat a natural meal that you'd be with the people, Lord. Bless the ones that are coming back here, Lord, for the wedding. And Father, we pray that you bless our sister and our brother, Lord. Bless the ones that are preparing all this wedding ceremony for them. And we pray, Lord, that you would sanctify us for this journey that we're on, and them too, Lord. Lord, just bless the sick and be with the ones that are not here, Lord. Take care of each one, Father. We know this kind of the part of the year that it's a joyous time for some, but sometimes it's a sad time, Lord, for people lost loved ones and different things. Lord, we pray that you, the Prince of Peace, will come and abide with them, Lord. That's what you said you would do. So we trust it in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.
As a journey through the